Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome all. If I could remind you, I've been reminded to remind you to please turn your phones off or onto silent. I also have a sponsorship announcement to make. We're very grateful that today's share has been sponsored by Ziva and David Katz, in loving memory of Ziva's mother, Tova Feld, alayha shalom. Tova bat shalom v'yafa tviya. And her yod side is on Yud-Chet, on Chai Elul, the 18th of Elul. And please God, the Neshama should have an aliyah, and we should learn Torah, le'ilu nishmata, and we're very grateful for the sponsorship. If there is anyone who is planning to stay, and you should, for the shiur after this, I have an announcement that Rabbi Alan Kimchi, who is normally giving the shiur, is not able to give the shiur today, but his brother, Rav Shlomo Kimchi, will be giving the shiur bimkomo. And anyone who's heard Rav Shlomo Kimchi, that's definitely a great opportunity to hear him. So that's an announcement for the 11:30 shiur. Okay, let's get into today's topic. Today's topic is something I've been meaning to talk about for years, is the truth. And it's a topic which is close to my heart and close to my name. Because I want to talk about the issue of having a secular name. What are the halachic parameters to that? What are the hashkafic parameters to that? My name is Abraham. That's the name that I was given at my Brit Milah. I don't have any other names. My wife says that our children all sound like Gerim, which is nice. I don't have a problem with that. There's this one Ben Abraham and that one Bat Abraham, and it's a schus. So things sound a little bit like that. But my name is Abraham, but my parents decided, it actually was my grandfather, Oliver Shalom, who decided he liked the name Anthony. It's without an it's with an H, but just Anthony, it's not Anthony. And they decided to give me that name. It's only when I started mixing with Americans that I realized that non-Jewish people have the name Anthony. There are no Italians really living in England. They live in Italy. It's not very far away. And therefore, all the kids I went to school with called Anthony were all Jewish. For me, it was like a name like Josh. Yeah? And when I started mixing with people from outside England, they said, how can you be Jewish and called Anthony? And how can you be a rabbi and called Anthony? I've been stopped at the airport in America by the immigration people who look at my passport and say, it says you're coming as a rabbi, you know, but you're called Anthony, and the rabbis are not called Anthony. And I say, well, maybe we're in Brooklyn they're not, but in other places they are. For many years, the principal of one of the main Haredi high schools in London, his name was Tony. And nobody thought anything of that. However, Jewish names and names generally are complex. I have a middle name, by the way, which I'm not going to tell you, but if you're that interested, if you're interested in English, but if you're interested, you can speak to me afterwards. Do you have to have a Jewish name? And what is a Jewish name? How Jewish does it need to be? And I brought you now, at the beginning, 8 or 9 different ideas, just to analyze what is a Jewish name. Now, obviously, a name straight from Tanakh, Abraham, Yonatan, Esther. Okay, there's nothing more Jewish than that. Beautiful. Even though you're going to tell me, well, Mordechai and Esther were originally non-Jewish, you know, Marduk is an Avodah Zarah, Nishtar. Okay, fine, that's back in the mists of time. The name has been Nikdash, if you like, by the by being in Tanakh. So it's a Jewish name. What about a shortened version of that name? Avi, Yoni, Esti, Sari. Okay, fine, let's assume that's a good Jewish name as well. I don't know whether Sarah Imenu called her husband Abraham or Avi I've no idea. It doesn't say, and we're not interested. Abraham at the beginning, I suppose. But let's assume that Avi and Yoni are just as good as Abraham and Yehonatan. What about an unusual Tanakh name? You can't question its Tanakh credentials, but what if you call your kid Mushi or Yogli? What about twins called Mupim and Chupim? These are all Tanakh names. These are all good people in Tanakh. Kitlon, Ard. Ard is an interesting name because you know someone who has the name Ard. Not a Jewish person, but actually Ord Wingate. Ord Wingate, who was very famous as one of the great supporters of the early Yeshuv, and of course trainers of the army, and the Wingate Institute is named after him. His English name, Ord, he was a non-Jewish person, is from the biblical name Ard, which is in Tanakh. But I never met a Jewish kid called Ard. And you don't meet many kids in religiously observant families called Adam either, which is interesting. What's with the name Adam? Is that that's a Jewish name, but why are there so many frum chavas and so few from Adam. I don't have a good answer to that, but it's definitely a biblical name. What about the English translation of the biblical name? Abraham, Jonathan, Daniel, Deborah. Okay, is that Jewish enough? We'll see. The Rogachava has things to say about that. What about a Hebrew but non-biblical name? Zvi, Ari, okay, Rina, Shira. Okay, Ari, you could say was Ariyeh, and Ariyeh is, but it's not a name in the sense. It's a, you know, but it's a Hebrew name. Lev is not even a Hebrew name. We're going to get to that in a minute. Yael's a biblical name. Yael's in Shoftim. What about a non-Hebrew name, not Hebrew at all, but it's used really exclusively by observant Jews? Motel, Velvel, okay, Razel Sprinter, Kalonimus Kalman, meaning you can go on forever with those. They're very Jewish. What's more Jewish than Gittel Sprinter? And yet there are no Jewish words in the name at all. What about a non-Jewish name, but Jews use a lot? Alexander. Is that, doesn't make it Jewish? What about a neutral non-Jewish name, which is used by Jews and non-Jews? Paul, Andrew, Jason, Susan, Lucy, Anthony, nothing like that. What about a non-Jewish name which has connotations? Paul, Luke, you know, Mary. Mary's not just like, Janet. Mary is Mary. I taught in Cheder, when I was just married. We taught in my wife's home community. They have a beautiful Cheder there, they still have it. In my class were four little boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Full house. Okay. So you know, how does that work? And what about someone who has mamash, the most non-Jewish name you can have? Chris. I know Jewish Christians. And I assume that the parish has never made an association. They didn't think that there was anything Christian about Chris. Or what about, like, even more, Jesus? Very popular Mexican name, Jesus. And the question is, are there any Jewish people called Jesus? I mean, there was once. Are there any now? Yes. I think with Alexander, right, because it's very Jewish now. Yeah, exactly. That was a non-Jewish name adopted. Right, correct. Correct. It's like an upgraded name. It's like become very Jewish. So I want to show you a lot of sources on this. We've got time. We've got to get through them. Many tshuvas, and I think we're going to have quite a fun time going through it. Let's start with a more hashkafic idea. The idea of naming something comes right at the beginning of the Chumash. Number one, when Adam is created, Yitzeh Hashem Elokim min ha'adama, kol chayat ha'sadeh, so God makes all in Bereishis chapter 2, which don't forget, in Bereishis chapter 1, first the animals are created and then mankind, but in chapter 2, first men and then the animals, and there's a lot to say about that, but then God creates the animals. That it's called Ofer Shemaim and all the birds. Ve'yavei El Ha'adam. He brought them to man. Lirot ma yikralo. To see what he would call them. What names he's going to give them. V'chale sheyikralo ha'adam nefesh chaya. Hushemo. Whatever name the man gave them, that is their Shem. The Shem is important. And the Radak points out here, Perush, what does it mean? Hushemo. That's its name. Hushemo hana'otlo. This is the name that fits it. Lefitiv of. This expresses something about its essence, its nature. A name is not just a moniker. A name is not just a label. We'll see in a minute. That's a big machlokas with the great Greeks. A name is something which, in Hebrew, which expresses its teva in a significant way. Rav Hirsch, number 2, says, it's according to the impression they make on him that he gives things names. He's talking about this posset. In these names he expresses their sham, their placement, their being. Hence the word Shem, Shem and Sham, he says, is from the same word. Place in the world. He ranks them in the appropriate kind, species, etc. of things. And this actually is a fundamental disagreement, which we just need to talk about for a minute, because it's a much bigger point, between the Jews and the Greeks. And therefore, in the Greeks, in that sense, secular thinking and philosophical culture, that in the eyes of the Greeks, the name is just a medium. It doesn't express anything fundamental and essential about the thing. I brought you a short quote here about philosophy here, number 3. Greek philosophy more or less begins with the insight that a word is only a name. It does not represent true being. And in fact, the Greek word for a word, onoma, is the same for a name. A word and a name are the same. But in Hebrew, the word for a word, davar, is also the word for a thing. And that's very important, because for us, the name is not just a label, it is, in some sense, the thing itself. The Greeks were very concerned that people shouldn't chase after names. Book in number 4 from Plato, he who follows names in the search after things and analyzes their meaning is in great danger of being deceived. How real existence is to be discovered is, I suspect, beyond you and me. But we must rest content with the admission that the knowledge of things is not to be derived from their names. Do not go chasing after names, says the Greeks, to find the essence of a thing. So to Aristotle himself, says in number 5, spoken sounds are symbols of affections in the soul, and written marks are symbols of spoken sounds. A name is spoken sound significant by convention. It's random. This thing I call a cat, I could have called it dog, mouse, bird. It's just a name. It's just something, a label that we use. Whereas in Jewish thinking, that is not at all the case. The text, the name, the word is very much more fundamental. And that's why we find meaning in the text. For us, the text is not just a way of communicating the real thing that God said, but the text is the thing itself that God said, which is very important. That's why the Greeks are focused much more on seeing and thinking. And we're focused much more on hearing, Shema Yisrael, and speaking. And that's why there was a very strong anti-text approach by Christianity, which inherited that from the Greeks. They find the text is a distraction. Why are these rabbis spending years and years delving into the inner meaning of the text? It's just that they're just wasting their time, because the text is not, there's no reality to the text. It's the idea that's real. Whereas we say, no. The text is what it is. This is the Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, the essence of what Hashem is giving us. And therefore, this idea of a name for us is a real thing. And I just wanted to mention that fundamental dispute between the Greeks and the Jews on this whole issue. Also, that it connects with the idea that the Greeks felt that matter was eternal, was non-contingent. It had to be like it is. Whereas for us, we understand that there was a bria. Things were created. How were they created? By Hashem's speech. And therefore, things didn't have to be like they are. And therefore, maybe they could be different from what they are. And that's why we're always looking for alternative suggestions, solutions. And we have so many opinions. And we vote for so many political parties, because we have so many different ways of looking at the world. And that's part of what it means to be a Jew. So having said that philosophical point, the influence of a name, Chazal say, is very potentially profound. Now, we see that Hashem gives names to various people in Tanakh. Hashem gives the name Yitzhak. Hashem gives the name Yishmael, which we'll see is important soon. Hashem renames people. Abram goes to Abraham. Sarai goes to Sarah. Hosea goes to Yahushua. Okay? And therefore, the effect of these names or renaming can clearly be important. Look at number 6. The Midrash says, like when Hashem saw that a tzaddik would be born, he himself gives the name. Karal Noach, Shai Tzadik. He calls Noach Noach because Noach was a Tzadik. Karal Abraham, Vachen Yitzchak, Vachen Yaakov, Vachen Shlomo, Vachen Yoshiyahu. The Ilu Zacha Hadarit, if we were only worthy of it in our generation, says the Gemara, says the Midrash here, Hayikar Hashem Lekar Echad Vechad. Really, every name should come from Hashem, because that expresses who we are. Umishma Hayamoydiya Ma'asav. And from the name that we got, we would be somewhat predictable. Now, obviously, nothing is like Kol Bidei Shemaim, Chutz Mira Shemaim. So even if you get a great name, you could always mess it up. And even if you get a bad name, you could always make it right. But in principle, the name is a guiding feature. Chazal in Brochot in number 7, Rut. My Rut. Why is Rut called Rut? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shezachta V'yachta Mimenu David, because she had merited having David that came after her. Sheriyohu L'Akadosh Baruch Hu B'Shirot V'Tishpachot. Shirot. Shirut. Yeah? The root is in the Shirot. Meaning her name had an influence, that her great-grandson would be someone who produces Shirot for Tishpachot. Milan and the Shmogar. And how do we know, says the Gemara here in Brochas, that the name is influential, can make a difference, it can cause things to happen. I'm Reb Lezer, Abad Amakra, L'chu v'chazumi falat Hashem. Go and see what God does in the world. Asher sam shamot ba'aret. Shamot means destruction. God put destruction in the world, says the Gemara. Al tikre shamot, ela shemot. Why? Look in the Marashah number 8. She'en liachet pula ra shehaya b'shashma malak kodesh baruch. Because we don't want to associate Hashem with destroying the world. It's not the shmama that Hashem put in the world. The intent of Shu, therefore they dashen shamot b'loshen shemot. She'pulat Hashem nimshachim achrei Hashem. God's actions, God's providence in the world, the way that Hashkacha works in the world, which is very complicated and has many factors, can also be influenced by the name. Shem Shal Adam, Shehu Gara. It can be a cause. The Arizal is the source of the idea that we know, that we certainly always talk about. Number 9, Nimsa, we see Kika Asher Nolad HaAdam, when a new little baby is born, V'korim lo avi v'imo shem echad ha'ola v'ha'ola v'tatam. They think of a name that comes into their mind and they call them that name. Eino ba'akrai u'v'izdamen. It's not random. It's not just a chance occurrence, as the Arizal, that this name has been picked. Ki ma'kodesh baruch hu mi'sim v'piv Hashem ha'hu. God puts into their mind, into their mouth, that name. Ha'muchrach ela neshama namashama ha'hi. That name is the only name that is the right name for that neshama. As it says in the pasuk, Asher sam shemot shamot, as it were, shemot dar shamot. Meaning, the idea that the people have a mini nevuah when they give the name to their children is a real idea. It's not just something that people make up. It comes from the Arizal, and we see therefore that the name has an influence. Another source for this is the spies. Look in number 10. Zechariah Moitzalem says the Midrash Tanchuma. Remember the days of old. Binu shnot dor vador. Understand past generations. La'olam yivdak adam b'shemot likro livno haroi liyot tzadik. You should also always try and find the right name for your kids so that you will encourage them to be a tzadik. Lefamim, because from time to time, Hashem gorem tov or gorem ra. Again, not always. Lefamim. Sometimes the name will influence for good or for bad. K'mosh ha'metzin b'maraglim. As we see with the maraglim, one of the maraglim, Shamua ben Zachor, al shelo shama b'divrei ha'makom. He didn't listen. That's why he got the name that he got. The kach nimsa b'sefer Rabbi Moshe Adash. Fine. There is a somewhat, not comical, it's not the word, but I don't know what the word is, ironic story in the Gemara. It wasn't funny at all at the time. But Rabbi Meir says in number 11, a Gemara in Yuma, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, have a ka'av ziborcha. Three of the great Tanaim walking on the road looking for a place to stay. Now, Rabbi Meir have a daig basham. So Rabbi Meir used to darshan, he was medayek, he used to learn things from people's names. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi loy have a daik of shema, but they were not into it. No, we're going to name the name. We're not going to get too fixated on what the name is. Now, kivatelahu duchta boyu shvita. They got to a town and they looked for an inn. Yavulu, they found an inn. And they, amrulah, they said to the innkeeper, mashmech, what's your name? Amalahu, he said to them, Kidor. My name is Kidor. Amar, the Rabbi Meir thought to himself, oi, Shmamina Adam Roshahu. I think this guy is a Rosha. I just met him, but the name Kidor, why? Shinema Kidor Tapuchot Hema. They are a generation of a perverse generation. Who's gonna call their kid Kidor from this pasuk? Even subliminally. But Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, Ashlichu Leikitai, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi didn't care about the name. So they gave him their money, their purse. He said, I'll put your money in the safe overnight. And they said, fine, that's very nice of you. Rabbi Meir loy ashlim lo kisei. Rabbi Meir said, it's okay, I'll look after my own money. Thanks. Also Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir went, the natri kula yume, he looked after his money all day. I see, he took it with him. Lemachar, the next morning, Amrulo, so they said to the innkeeper, havlan kisan, can we have our money back? Amalahu, and he said to them, lo hayut varim meola. I never heard of no money. No money. I don't know any money. Your word against mine. Now, don't worry, because in the end they did get the money back, and it was a bit of a salutary tale how they got it back, but at this stage they didn't get it back. So Amalahu Rabbi Meir turned around to them and says, which is not what you want to hear in the moment, Amai loy diaktu b'shma. Why didn't you listen to his name? You should have worked it out from his name and not given him your money. Amru later, they said to him, Amai loy amaklan ma. Why didn't you tell us? You kept it to yourself. You could have shared your insight. Amalu, he said to them, listen. Eimada Amri anachashash. I was choishesh. I was worried that the name might make a difference. I didn't want to speak lashon hara about the guy and say don't give him your money because I didn't know. I just suspected based on the name. Okay, and then they got their money back in the end. And it says at the end of this gemara, ulebesav, and at the end of the day, havu dai kibishma. They looked into people's names as well. By the end of this story, they learned their lesson, and therefore names made a big difference. That's why we don't name our children after Rishayim. If you look in number 12, my, what does it mean, says the Gemara in Yoma, the shame Rishayim Yirkav, that the name of the Rishayim should rot away. I'm revealing it means Rak Vivut Ta'aleh B'Shem Otam, that their name should go rusty. If you like, their name should just drop off the radar. Delon Askinah Mishmayu, no one should use those names anymore. Masiv Ravina. Ravina brings in a proof for this. Maaseh B'Doeg Ben Yosef. There's a little boy called Doeg, the son of Yosef. She'enucho Avi Ben Katala Imo. His father passed away when he was a little boy. Now Doeg was not a good character in Tanakh. Doeg was a bad guy. No question about that. And they named, for some reason, this kid Doeg. But the mother was a tzadekes. Every day, the mother would weigh her little son and would donate the weight of the son to the Beit HaMikdash in gold. Because she felt that she wanted the schut of her tzedakah to the Mikdash to protect her son. Unfortunately, tragically, when the enemy came in the Churban, in the end, they killed him and ate him, this little boy. The boy met the most tragic and terrible end. I think it means the Romans killed him and they ate him. But in the end, it was awful. About this kind of case, Jeremiah prophesied in advance, Im tochalna nashim, will women have to eat piriam, their fruit, olalei tipuchim. Those that they raised, the cherished ones that they raised, and Chazal are making from tipuchim to tifachim. She weighed him out and measured him out. In spite of the fact that she gave all of that in his merit, didn't help him. The name, apparently, of this little boy made such a difference. And therefore, people are very careful not to let to name a child after a Rosha. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, all the more so after a non-Jew. You can name a kid a non-Jewish name. Even a Rosha who is Jewish has merit of some kind, but to give a kid a non-Jewish name, that, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is even worse than giving the kid a name of a Rosha. Some people ask, well, how could Rabbi Yishmael's mother give Rabbi Yishmael, who's one of the great Tanaim, how could he end up being called Yishmael? What happened there? So I don't think that's a big question. Number one, Yishmael was the name given by Hashem to Hagar to call the boy, and therefore you could argue that the name is a God-given name and therefore it's not a problem. Secondly, Ishmael did Tshuva at the end. Ishmael and Hagar, but certainly Ishmael. And thirdly, I think the connotation of the name Ishmael was only after the rise of Islam. And Rabbi Ishmael lived 400 years, 500 years before Islam. There ain't no that many Jewish kids called Ishmael these days, and there haven't been for a long time. I never heard of any other person called Ishmael apart from Rabbi Ishmael. Is anyone else? And any great, one of the great Rishonim called Rabbi Yishmael of Cairo? I don't think so. And therefore, Yishmael was a one-off thing. But people do sometimes raise alarm when they hear what people call their kids today. And the name that everybody loves to hate is Nimrod. And I've heard this many times. In fact, you'll go to your stories of Britot, where they call in Samuel and they say, Bikari Shmoi Bisrael, and the father whispers in his ear, Nimrod. And the guy says, no, I'm not calling him Nimrod. I refuse to name this kid Nimrod. Why do people want to call their kids Nimrod? And why do people raise such a, horror at calling their kids Nimrod? So, if you look at what, just as an parenthesis on the name, look at what it says in the Chumash about Nimrod. Number 13. For Kush yaladid Nimrod, Kush gave birth to Nimrod, who echelio gibor ba'aretz. He was a big gibor in the world. Okay, doesn't sound so bad so far. He was a great hunter before God. That's why people say, they talk as like an expression, Nimrod, should be like Nimrod, Gibor Tzayiv Lifnei Hashem. Now, you, a warrior, a hero, Lifnei Hashem Noch, And it says in the Pasuk, people call their kids Nimrod. People give them a bracha, like you should be like Nimrod. Now you know, and I know the Chazal say, but look at the name. Nimrod, look at number 14. Vehi b'me'am Raphael, says the Gemara in Erefin. Rabbi Shmuel dispute what's the deal with this person, Amraphel. Amraphel was one of the four kings who fought against the five kings in Lech Lecha. Chad Amar, one of them says, Nimrod Shema. His real name was Nimrod. But Lama Nikra Shema Amraphel. Why does he call Amraphel by the Pasuk? Sha'ama vehipil Avram, Lavra Avram Avinu, v'kifshan ha'ech. That he threw Avram Avinu, Amraphel, lahapil, he threw him into the furnace, the fiery furnace. Okay? The Chad Amar, and the other one says, Amraphel Shema. No, his real name was Amraphel. But Lama Nikra Shema Nimrod. Why is he called Nimrod? Shehimrid et kol ha'olam, kula, halav v'machutah. He made the whole world rebel against Hashem. What does the word Nimrod mean? We will rebel. Therefore, he's a bad one. There's no question about Sei Chazal. By the way, this Chazal raises the question which often comes up when we're dealing with names in Tanakh. How do we know if they were the real name? Meaning here we see that Amraphel may have not been called Amraphel. He might have been called Nimrod, and he was called by the Pasuk Amraphel because it's a name that suits him. Which comes first, the name or the character? For example, Naomi the Elimelech. They call their sons Machlon v'Chilion. Now, they don't sound like great names. Machlon from Machala, yeah? Chilion from Klaya, from destruction. So why would you call your kids sickness and destruction? So you could turn around and say, no, Machlon could also from Macholot, from dancing, and you know, there's all the other connotations. Or you could turn around and say, well, I don't know, maybe the kids were called Shloimi and Moishi. But the Navi, he calls them Machlon v'Chilion because that fits their essential character. So I don't know, were they actually called by the names that Tanakh calls them? This sort of raises that question, or are these names the essential names of the person that we need to know? Good question. It's rare that people name after other people. There are a few names that come up twice or three times in Tanakh, but not many. There's only one Abraham, as far as I'm aware. There's only one David. There are a few Shauls, and there's a couple of Korahs. Yeah, a couple of Hanochs. But people don't name after other people. Why didn't nobody later on in the time of the first Mikdash name their kids Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Would have thought that would have been an obvious thing to do. Maybe no one did that then, or maybe they did, but that's not the names that the Tanakh gives them, because the names the Tanakh gives them are more essential. That's just a question. But if you look at the Ibn Ezra says in number 15, Nimrod, after that kind of chance for Kol HaShemos, don't go looking after all the names. The mean reasons, imlo nichtav, unless it says in the Pasuk what the name means. What does it mean he was a gibor? He began to domesticate the animal world. He was a hunter. V'tam lifnei Hashem. And what does it mean lifnei Hashem? Shehaya boneh mizbachot. He built altars. Umaleotam hachayot olel Hashem. He brought korbanot for Hashem. He didn't do a avodah zarah. He was an Oved Hashem. Nimrod was an Oved Hashem who built Korbanos, who built Mitzvachot and made and broke Korbanos. But then Derech HaPshat, that's the Pshat in the Psukim. HaDrash Derech HaHeret. That's a, Drash is different. If you want to get into Drash. So you ask, I'll ask you, why do modern secular Israelis name their kids Nimrod? Because the Pasuk says that Nimrod's a tzaddik. That's why. They didn't read the Gemara. They never heard of this Gemara. They read the text in the Pshat. And like the Ibn Ezra, maybe they read the Ibn Ezra, doubt it. But they read the text and it says Nimrod's a good name. They don't tend to call their kids Esav. Does anyone know an Israeli kid called Esav? Haman. So I'm a bit uncomfortable pointing the finger and saying, how can you call your kid Nimrod? The answer is, well, why would you not call your kid Nimrod if you weren't open to the understandings of Chazal? And then you get a different kind of sensitivity. Otherwise, Nimrod makes a lot of sense. The Ramban gives a very strong refutation of Ibn Ezra. Just look at the number 16 at the top. He says, Rabbi Avram Peresh Hafach Ha'inyan Al-Derech Pshtod, Rabbi Avram, the Ibn Ezra gives Hafach Ha'inyan, he puts it on its head and calls Nimrod a tzaddik. The aim of the Barav Nirin, I don't agree with him. The Hinehu Matzik Rosha. He's making a Rosha into a tzaddik. Ki Rabbi Seinu Yadu Rishoi B'Kabbalah. Because the rabbis knew from a received tradition that he was a Rosha. And this opens up the question of when and how do the Mepharshim disagree with Chazal. Everyone has their own red lines that they won't pass. The Ramban sometimes disagrees with the interpretations of Chazal, but he just has different understanding, different red lines he draws. The Ibn Ezra has his line. The Rashbam is known for having the broadest openness, if you like, to disagreeing with Chazan, and Ibn Ezra disagrees with him. So before we turn around and say, everybody says Nimrod was this, or everybody says, no, it's not so posh. Chazal may say one thing, the Mefarshim may disagree, depending on the parameters for how they feel that they can disagree. But that's just a little thought about the name Nimrod. But let's get back to our question. What's with having a non-Jewish name? What's with being called, I don't know, Andrew? I'm sure there are lots of people who you know who are called Andrew, Bernard, there's lots of people like that. Let's have a look at this whole issue. Look at number 17. Here is a midrash that you thought you knew, but it's probably not what you thought you knew. Says the midrash in Shir HaShirim. Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Bar Kapra says the following: Ama b'skus arba dvarim niglu Yisrael min Yisrael. In the merit of four things, the Jews were redeemed from Egypt. Shino et shemam, they didn't change their names. Lo shino et lashonam, they didn't change their language; they continued to speak Hebrew. Lo amru loshen hara, they didn't speak badly against each other. The lo nimsa behem echad porutz ba'erva, and none of them committed acts of sexual indiscretion. Now, you thought there was going to be another one in there, didn't you? Which was? They didn't change their clothes. The one that everybody quotes, they didn't change their names, they didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothes, actually doesn't appear anywhere as a set. There are all of those things mentioned in other midrashim, but I'm not aware of anywhere. I'm happy to be corrected if you find somewhere. But here you see four. Their names, their language, their sexual morality, and also to speak lashon hara against each other. Now, says the Gemara, says the Midrash rather, the second line, what does it mean, Loshan and Shema, they didn't change their names? Reuben, Veshimon, Nachtin. Reuben and Shimon went down to Egypt. Reuben, Veshimon, Talkin. And Reuben and Shimon came out of Egypt. The Loi Hayakorin, Reuben, Rufus. They didn't call Reuben Rufus. You know, everyone knows when you pick a non-Jewish name, it has to sound a little bit like, from Asher to Andrew or whatever it is. Ulushimon loy hayakorin in Lulini. I don't know what the connection is between Shimon and Lulini. Verle Yosef Liftim, Ulabinyamin Alexander. Interesting, Alexander there is pointed out as a name that the Midrash does not like because he feels it's a non-Jewish name. Okay, even though, as I have said before, there is a strong tradition to call Alexander. There is another Gilsa actually, which says, Veloy hayakorin Yehuda Leoni. They didn't call Yehuda Leon. And you probably know Yehuda's called Leon, right? It's a very common connection. Why? Because Leo is a lion, and Yehuda is Yudariye. So lots of Yehudas turn into Leo. But Nachon, but the name Leo is a Latin name. That's the point. There's nothing wrong with the lion. The question is, were you going to call them Leo? Says this Midrash, no, they didn't change their names. And we'll take this Midrash and we'll expand it soon. Typhus is faced with a fascinating question. Look at number 18. Shalul Rabbeinu Tam, they asked Rabbeinu Tam, Al Mumar La Avodas Kochavim, an apostate to Christianity. Shegiresh is Ishtoi, and he then divorced his Jewish wife. The Loi Nichtav Beget El Hashem Shel Yadut, and he only used his Jewish name in the get. The Loi Shem Shel Oved Kochavim, and he didn't use his now adopted Christian name. Meaning, let's say the guy, I don't know what the guy's name was, let's say the guy was called Menachem, and he changed it to Pius. Okay? Whatever it was. So in the get, to do a gerushin on his wife, he writes Menachem. He doesn't write Menachem brackets Pius, close brackets. And in Gittin, there is a big chumrah that we try very hard to put every possible name that the person is ever known by, so that we can avoid any suggestions. The get is not valid, so that when the wife remarries, etc., etc. So they asked Rabbeinu Tam, should he have written the name Pius in, or whatever it was, in the get? The Heshiv Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam answered, Chalil al Azkin Shem of Ovid Kochavim B'Toyrus Moshe Yisrael. God forbid to ever write a non-Jewish name in something that was Torah Yisrael. Now, it could be that becoming a Christian and being called Pius is much worse than Sam being called like Philip or Andrew or Bernard or whatever it is, because it's not the same thing at all. But Tosfos doesn't seem very happy about that. There are many Chevrei Kedisha who will not allow you to write an English name on the tombstone. Yes. Oh, we'll get to him very soon. We'll get to Antigonus and a lot of other people like Antigonus. Okay, we'll get to him soon. So far we seem pretty unhappy about a non-Jewish name. And in fact, the main source against having a non-Jewish name is number 19. the Maharam Sikh. Okay, Rav Moshe Sikh. And where does the name Sikh come from? We'll see in a minute. Okay? Has a very famous tshuva on this, and he says as follows. There are people called Sikh today. You probably know people called Sikh. There's a family, a Sikh family. You're from the Sikh family? Your grandma. Okay, very good. From the Sikh family. So he writes this just before Rosh Hashanah. He starts here, Parshas Netzavim, that's almost this time of year. Tafresh, Lamad Ches, that's 1838. Something like that. 1878. Okay, that's a nice bracha to start with. And he says, Ra'iti she'roi la'ashiv al-davar. You asked me to respond to this thing. She'yesh b'nei Adam, she'nechin en atzman b'shem ha'goyim. The church changed their names to non-Jewish names. Okay, umalatoi, neri yira, and you asked me, hochir chotam, you criticize these people. Dari Amru b'midrash, doesn't it say in the midrash, because of three things that they should, sorry, shaloi shinu et shmam, zizachinu, let's say from Mitzrayim, we got out of Egypt. The Hamish, even these people who are now called Hermann and Heinrich and this kind of thing in Germany, yeah, they answer Shelazedai Bamasha Yeshlahem Shem Yehudi Likrotam Boila Allah the Torah. It's enough they have a Jewish name. They're called Chanuch. They're called Chanuch and they get called up in Shul by Chanuch. So it doesn't matter if they're called Hermann in outside. Vzeh Dava Hebel Vatipshus. He says this is complete nonsense. This is a Torah prohibition to have the name, which is a non-Jewish name. Kamasha Kasav Rambam, he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Dumikrami loy ne'emar b'sof, Chal Malin should say, sorry, ne'emar b'sof Parshas Kedoshim. It says there's a clear pasuk at the end of Parshas Kedoshim. V'avdel etchem min ha'amim liyotli. I'm making you different from the non-Jews to be close to me. U'misham yalfinam, from there we derive, says the Maharam Sikh, the Ein Rashayim and the Damot Lahem, Shum Oifen, we are not allowed to be like non-Jews in any way. We have to have a Havdalah Gemura. The Chal Shehu Oifen, the Damot Lahem, anything you do to be like a non-Jew, Oiva Al Mashe Ne'emar B'Torah, the Asalanu B'Damot Lahem. This is an Issa Daraisa of trying to be like the non-Jews. U'Keshen She Asalanu B'Damot Lahem B'Mahbusham, just like we can't dress like non-Jews, or walk like non-Jews, or go, or do things they do, or b'shamin again, or any of their other customs or ways of life. Who are then? B'kol shekem, even more so. You're not allowed to adopt their name. And we should do what our fathers did in Egypt. They were a great nation there. Darshu chazal, they stuck out as being Jews. We have to be visible and different as Jews, he says. And then he gives a very interesting background. I'm going to tell you why I feel so strongly about this. When I used to be the Rav of this town in Hungary, Samach LePresburg, near to Presburg, I had to put in the census. I think this is the census. The Rav had to take a census of the Jews in the community. The Hafsar, to the officer, to the government official, Hamayud Lizem. The Yitra'im Lefanai, and he was very critical in front of me. The Amen, he said, Kilon Nai, not nice, Mashe Yehudim Karim Asman B'Shem Agoyim. This non-Jewish official in Hungary looked at the names and said, Heinrich, Hermann, all these people? I've nothing against Heinrichs or Hermanns, by the way. I'm just using it because it comes to mind, okay? Philip, Bernard, what are these people called out for? What's wrong with them? V'sha'akala Umas, every other nation, they respect their names, they love their names, the Hainu, Hungary, whether it's Hungarian, Francine, or I think it means French here, whatever you're called Claude, Jean-Paul, you're very proud of your name. I don't know any Hungarian names, but I'm sure you do. Ignaz. Okay, fine. They all respect their own language and their own name. The Ein of the Shanim was Shum Oifen. They would never dream of changing their traditional name. They want to keep that for the future. They're proud of it. The Hayahudim, Mashahim, Mikadmoine Homas, the Jews who come from the most ancient stock. Kimo Island, the people who set up the world. Heimaboshe Rasman, they're so embarrassed to be Jewish. The Ikare, the Shem, I hate them.
U'mishanim shmam l'shem ha'omer. What's wrong with the Jews, said this non-Jew. V'zelahem g'nai gadol. This was a terrible thing, he says. V'loi hai b'si ma'an el ha'ashim lo. He said, I didn't know what to answer him. When he criticized me, says the Maram Sheik. Aval d'chisi otol b'dvarim. I gave him a very weak answer. Sh'agolos go himself. Golos. Krech. He goes, Golos. What can you do? Those people who call themselves non-Jewish names, they are showing, they give a lot of credence to the non-Jewish culture, more than Jewish culture. We always called our children after our Jewish forebears, or our Shem Tzadikim Kedoshim, Ga'inim Gedolim, or after the greats of the greats. Shehem hayu achashuvim, they were the people who were chashuv. The achadashim, mavazim avoteim, these new people, they insult their parents, gudolein, gudoshem, and their gudolim, and their holy ones. The chashuvim, mashabkim, mafarim, shem agoyim, nikro, shem tzatzeim, al shemam, the harid, the gizayim, god la avoteim. Disgraceful. We'll get there. We haven't got there yet. The Maram Shik, and by the way, where did the name Shik come from? Shem Yisrael Kadosh. That when they insisted that they took surnames, family names, he said, I'm going to take a name, but it's going to be a reference to the importance of having a Jewish name. This was something that was obviously resonated very strongly with the Maharam Sheikh, and he is one of the people that clearly passes that way. He's not the only one. Rav Shlomo Kluger also passes this way, and so does the Rogachava. The Rogachava was okay with an English transliteration of the name. Abraham. Moses, yeah? And by the way, if you look at the headed paper of many of the Gedolim in America in the mid-20th century, it's Rabbi Moses Feinstein and Rabbi Joel Teitelbaum, because they felt this was a step that they wanted to take. You can get that very easily. But they didn't, they certainly didn't turn their names into English names, but they were okay with an English equivalent. Rav Osher Weiss has a tshuva on this. He has it actually, it's in his book, the Minchas Asher on Shmos, and he says, look, maybe the Maram Sheikh was worried about assimilation, and people changing their name to try and assimilate, but maybe even the Maram Sheikh wouldn't have a problem if you just use a non-Jewish name for, I don't know, business purposes. Yeah, if your name is Yukutiel, okay, but you use the name John, for communicating with the IRS or whatever it is, so then maybe he wouldn't have a problem with that, because who's going to, write you for seal? But I don't know. He sounds like he does have a problem. He sounds very unhappy. That is basically the negative position. And there are some people that really feel that strongly. I must tell you personally, I've given shirim in places where they've advertised it. They will not write my name. They won't write it. I'm not Bruegger's. That's fine. And maybe it's my fault. I should have called myself Avram. I have no problem with Avram. It's on my Tudat Zehut, Abraham. It's my name, But they write Rabbi A. Manning. Okay? I get that. Okay? They're very embarrassed. Okay, if you're embarrassed, don't ask me to speak. It's fine. You don't have to ask me to speak. But this is something which some people understandably feel very strongly over. However, la halacha lemaisa, it's not the end of the story. Let's go over to page 5. Because the truth is that the Jewish people living in Chutz La'aretz always had Chutz nicknames. Look in the Gemara in Gittin number 20. Says the Gemara here, brings a brisa, Gittin haban medina tayam ve'edim chatumim aleihem. If you receive a get into Israel from overseas, and edim with their names on that get, afal pi sheshemoydeihem kishmoydov dekachovim, even though the names appear like the non-Jewish names of the people that live there, Aristopolis or Titus or whatever it is, that's fine, they're kosher. Mipnei sheroyv Yisrael shebechutz la'aretz shenoseihim kishemot v'chivei tachovim. Because even in the time of the Mishnah, the Gemara, they said most Jews living in Chutz La'aretz, in Greece, in Rome, in Cairo, whatever, in Alexander, they have non-Jewish names, that's what Jews have. And this is a point that you picked up on before, which I'll talk about now. It was always the case that Jews, even Hashiva Jews, had non-Jewish names. And in fact, the Maharal, I'm not going to read the Maharal inside because we won't have time to do that, but the Maharal makes an important point in Gvurat Hashem, which is he quotes this Midrash, which talks about the Jews in Egypt not changing their names, and he says, that's because the only thing that defined them as Jewish was their name, and their language, and their culture, as Ivrim. And that's what they had to preserve.
But once they receive the Torah at Sinai, what defines us as Jewish and separates us from the non-Jews is not just our names. It's our whole lifestyle, our mitzvahs and our Torah and our value system, and therefore the names was maybe dafka, specifically an issue for them, but not, so you can't just quote this idea, oh, they didn't change their names, because, okay, maybe that was a whole different situation. So Maharal quotes that, and we'll see Rav Moshe as well. In number 22, and again, I'll leave you to read this for yourself, the Maharashdam, which is Rav Shmuel de Medina, in 16th century Salonika, he is faced with an interesting shaila. There are many conversos from Portugal that made their way to Salonika and escaped from Portugal. And in Portugal, they had been forced to convert and were baptized and given non-Jewish names. Now they got to Greece, they went back to their Jewish names very happily and with great relief. But they still had to correspond back to Portugal, either for business, some of them still ran businesses in Portugal, or with relatives that weren't able to get out yet, and they weren't able to write their Jewish names on the letters. They had to go back to Miguel and Pablo and whoever, whatever it was, and they were embarrassed. They say, is this a sign that we're somehow not loyal to our Judaism, that we're using our Christian, and we were Christian names? And he writes and says, okay, it's not ideal to do that, because we want to distance ourselves from that as much, but it's not also. There's no Isur involved. There's no halachic prohibition of being called Pablo. Even if you were baptized in that name, because the name is not something that you need to worry about, that doesn't define you in Jewish terms, and therefore he allowed them in this situation, even though it wasn't for Pekuach Nefesh, it was for their money, it was for their business. He said, it's okay, you can use a non-Jewish name, and therefore there clearly is another side to the story. In the modern world, Rav Moshe Feinstein is the one who is most, if you like, vocal on this issue. He has four tshuvas on using a Jewish name. A non-Jewish name, and whether they have to use a Jewish name. Let me give you some of the headlines, the highlights of those tshuvas. Look at number 23. Let's spend 5 minutes on this, on these next few sources. Hinei b'davar sheba shalav. What about a non-Jewish name? Shekasavti, I've written, she'af shehu davar mugune. It's a davar mugune. He said, I don't like it. I think it's inappropriate. How would you translate mugune? Inappropriate. Wrong. It's the wrong thing to do. Eino issa. There's no issa. There's no prohibition. He disagrees with the Maharam Sheikh, clearly says there's no issa. And then he says, Sheken chazina shekama shema shalaz, mikol medino medina na'asu b'meshach hazman, degolas ha'aroch shenitchalfu ha'medinas. People switch from country to country. So many Jews have non-Jewish names. How many Sprinters and Razels and Gickles and all of these names? These are non-Jewish names. There's nothing more Jewish about Razel Gittel than there is about Montgomery. You know? Except that Razel Gittel became known as a Jewish name that Jews have. But there's nothing Jewish. Razel just means rose and Gittel just means good and whatever. But it's become used by Jews. As many Jews have non-Jewish names. I assume, says Rav Moshe, that they objected to this at the beginning. And they said, what do you give a name, a Gittel? The name is up for a nice Jewish girl. It's in the Yiddish, it's German, it's not a Hebrew word. Nishtag Hashem is Ben Yisrael, the names became established in the Jewish people. Achenikru Kfar L'Shem Yisrael, and then became Jewish names. They were effectively Jewish names. Ubishmot Nashim, and especially with women, he says, Hey, but Yoyseh Tzlein Sha'anu Mibnei Ashkenaz, we Ashkenazim, he says, Hey, Mishmot Ashkenaz, but a lot of women have Yiddish names. Many women, if you think to your grandparents, they only had Yiddish names. They were not back in the day called Avital and Avigail. They were called the Yiddish names. Fager, etc. Well, we go to Sfarad, Harbe Shemot, Michel Sfarad, and people who came from North Africa, whatever, Iraq, they had local names as well. The Gamka Aine Oilam, and here is where he gets into the point you made before. And by the way, some of the greats, he says, of the Rishonim, Kabbalah, Magid Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah, who was one of the main Perishim on the Rambam, Shishmaya Rabbeinu Vidal. His name was Vidal. Vidal is not a Jewish name. Vidal is a French name. Okay? That was his name. He didn't have another name. He wasn't called Moshe, but also Vidal. He was called Rabbeinu Vidal. Ukama Ga'inim. As we see many Ga'inim in the Shuvas of the Rishonim. Vagam Shein Maimon. What about Rav Moshe ben Maimon? Maimon is not a Jewish name. Maimon is an Arabic name. No one had a problem with that. Avish al Aramba. Kinushu Hushem La. Shilachin Chas Vashalom Lanu Laime Shaloi Asukar. Are you going to turn around and say that we're all doing Aveiras? According to the Maharam Sheikh, it's an Issa Doraisa. Really? Every single one of these people was doing an Issa Daraisa, calling their children that. The Rambam doesn't have a problem calling himself Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. He's not embarrassed by his father's name. Dachar Shikvar Nisrag Yisrael Ve'elo Shemot. These Shemot. These names became very Jewish in youth. Ein b'zeh shaychud l'tam aginai. There's no problem with that anymore. Ve'ein l'shonid l'kra. Okay, l'kra shem benoi or l'shem bitoi al shem atav zekeinim. You shouldn't. He's answering a question to a guy whose mother, who wants to name a little girl after the mother, and the mother was called Gittel Dreisel. Gittel Dreisel. He says you shouldn't worry about calling your daughter after your mother with those names. Okay. Maybe just go over the page. We'll pick up that specific point. Or l'chein, k'shetelet ishtachas chia. B'shar tova, when your wife, please God, says Rav Moshe, has a baby, b'shar tova mutlachat, v'havlat tiyeh bat, if it turns out to be a girl, tikrat al shem imech, im imcha. Please, call her after your mother. Don't worry about that, alei ha'shol. Aval mikivan she'imcha, imecha, okay, alei ha'shol, made the tzi'ira b'yamim, because she died young, the mother, because that's a different issue. Maybe don't completely call her after the mother who died young. But gam shelo kederet sam meitim, she died an unusual death. Ye kedai likrov b'shem es imcha rak shem gittel. Maybe just cut off the dreisel. Just call her gittel. And he says, and kishem dreisel by seven adalet, with a dreisel with a dalet, lo yaduli is a shem. I don't even know what that name is, he says, dreisel. Reisel, I know, he says. Dreisel? I don't know. But lo shem uvam, it's not a name I've ever come across. Maybe add a name as a schutz for her, because you're naming after your mother who died young. It would be good. Maybe you could call the baby Chana. Secret Gittel Chana. Call her Gittel Chana. But Gam Yishlekro Chana Gittel. Maybe call her Chana Gittel. It doesn't matter. But you don't have to worry about using the name Gittel. And then he goes on, just skip a couple of lines. And this is the point you made. There are so many names in the Gemara of the Amorim. Shenikru b'shem the Aramit, the Aramaic names. Kagom, Rapopa, Rav Zvid, Mazutra, Markashisha, Maryanuka. You could go on forever. There are so many Aramaic names. And then he says, and I missed this out, maybe Aramaic has more Kedusha, it's different. But not even just that. Think of the Tanayim. There were so many Tanayim with Greek names. Antigonus, you mentioned before. Avtalion, Sumchus, Unkelus, Akiva. Akiva is a Romanized form of Yaakov. Okay? That's effectively a non-Jewish name. There is one of the Amoraim in the Talmud Yerushalmi. His father is called Titus. And he gives the name Titus. Okay, maybe you'll turn around and say the parents weren't as from as the children, maybe, but the Gemara shall still quote the names, and therefore Rav Moshe also then parallels the Maharal, that maybe the name issue in Egypt was Dafka, because that was before Matan Torah. By the way, in the Rishoni, he doesn't mention it, we have a Rabbeinu Peter, Rabbeinu Simon, and Rabbeinu Albert. There's a Rabbeinu Albert, maybe he was Albert, okay? He was one of the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, one of the great Chachamim of Anglia. But there were many names back in those days, even though he doesn't like it to choose a non-Jewish name now, which is not established as a Jewish non-Jewish name, it's Dava Meguna, he says it's okay. And if you look at number 24, he says a very interesting thing. But Dava Inyan Hashemot She'orer, he says, you raise this question, V'dinot Zoh, Kimat Ruba Deruba, there are so many people. Ask me Yirish Hashem Yisbarach, even from people, ask me HaRabbanim. There are even rabbis, he says. Nikraim b'shemot ha'nochrim. Shomedina mishmot ha'anglim that have English names. And by the way, I did a little bit of research on the RCA website to see what the names were of the rabbis on the RCA website, the Rabbinical Council of America, which I am a member. So if you're interested in the statistics, the committee and the officers of the RCA, out of 56 had Jewish names, and only 3 had non-Jewish names. But if you go to the wider community of the RCA rabbis, there are many names there. I've written them here. There are Marks and Raymonds and Ians and Jeffries, Taylors and Mitchells and Barrys and Iras, Ralph, Alan, Basil, Fred, Gerald, Lowell, Jay, Norman, Philip, Eric, Leonard, Stephen, Dale, Kenny, Ronald, Charles, Martin, Ronnie, and Norbert. There are many names, and you may know some of these people. Choshev Rabbonim. Choshev Rabbonim. Yes.
One of the stipulations of becoming an officer in the RCA website
Really? That's so interesting. What are the requirements of being an officer? That's why only 3 out of the 59 have how did the 3 get through? Okay, I'm not getting into that. I don't know, and I don't mind. But Rav Moshe acknowledges that this is a normal thing, even though at the end he says, look at the end, Vadai hudava maguna ma'oi. But I really, really don't like it, he said. I don't like it. I'm not saying it's okay, but it's a thing. Then he says in number 25, somebody, looking at the second line of 25, Vadava echa sheshmai Manoach. There's a fellow whose name is Manoach. That's what he was called at his birth. But yes, the odd shame lies, and he has an English name. Now, I've heard a few shirim on this, and they say Norvit. Now, Norvit sounds like a Norwegian to me. I don't think there's a Norwegian rabbi writing to Rav Moshe Feinstein. I assume this name is Norbert. Okay? Sounds more likely that it's Norbert. Norbert is a name. Not so common now, but it's a name. Shanat Loi Harav, his parents gave him that name, and he asked the Shaila, is it a problem of Kibud Av Va'Em for me not to use my English name? My parents called me Norbert, and, you know. So Rav Moshe said, don't worry about it. Because your parents also gave you a Jewish name. That's also your name. Most parents wouldn't mind. You're a rabbi. After all, rabbis have Hebrew names. And if they do mind, then Batla Datsim Kol Adam. That's not normal, and we don't have to worry about it. That doesn't establish the halacha. So he turns around to his fellow and says, I'm not concerned that your parents might have a problem with that. It's not an issue. Let me just wrap up with a couple of interesting things. First of all, you should know that in the middle of page 7, there is a shita of the Mabit that you shouldn't name after anyone in Tanakh before Abraham Avinu. He says you shouldn't use the name Adam, Shem, Noach, Yafet, any of these names. But the Pitkei Tshuva on Shulchan Aruch says we don't paskin like that. And he brings many examples, and you probably know many Choshev Rabbonim that have those names. Like Weinberg, yeah. Chanoch is a bit different because Chanoch is also pre-Abrahamic and also post, because Reuben's son was called Chanoch. But we don't paskin like that, and there is no problem of using a name before, even though there are very few from Adams, and I still don't know why that is, and maybe you can write me, send me a postcard. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is known to be very negative about Hebrew names which are not biblical, and he doesn't like names like Rina and Dita and things like that. And there are many people who have recorded that they went to him for brochas and said, can I have a brocha for my daughter Shira? And he said, Shira is not a name. She should be called Miriam, or she should be called Sarah, but Shira is not a name. So I read that one of these people said to Rav Chaim, but she was born on Shabbat Shira. And he said to him, and if she'd been born on Shabbat Para, what would you have called her? I don't know if it's true, but it's a good line. I just want to finish off, just in 1 minute, with the issue of the double names on page 8. Because it became very common in Ashkenaz for men to have 2 names. At the Brit, they were given their Shem Kodesh, Tzvi, okay? And at the Chol Kreish, they were given their Shem Chol. The Chol Kreish was a beautiful ceremony. The first Shabbat that the mother was able to go to shul after the birth, they had a ceremony at the house. They brought the kids from the kehillah round the crib, and they had a whole, it's written up in there, there's a sefer called Shorashei Minhagei Ashkenaz, where they write up what they used to say in Yiddish, and they used to say, what do we call the kolim? And they used to shout out the Yiddish name, so the kid was called Svi at the Brit. They call him Herschel, and they say 3 times, Herschel, Herschel, Herschel. And they throw sweets, that could be the origin of the sweet throwing, the candy throwing, and that would then be the name. But the names would never be connected. And the Chasam Sofer writes that if the kid's called Svi and Hersh, he must never be called up to the Torah as Tzvi Hirsch, because his Hebrew name is Tzvi. Hirsch or Herschel is his whole name, and never the twain shall meet. And I brought you a long list, you know this list, that the many Hebrew names have a Yiddish equivalent. Dov, Ber, Ephraim, Fishel, because Vayid Gularoy, yeah? Mordechai is a Mottel, Pinchas is a Zelig, Meshlomo, Zalman, Shmuel, Zanvil, Shraga, Fivish, who by the way is named after the god, the Greek god Phoebus, the god of light, because Shraga is the light, Simcha Bunim, Yaakov Yankel, Cheskel Chaskel, Geir Yitzchak Isaac, Zeivolf or Velvol. In Eastern Europe, it became more common for them to join the names together. They dropped the Chol Kreish, Minhag, and then they became known as Dov Ber,
And many of the early Hasidic, you know, they have these double names. And now people think that that's it. You give your kid a double name. It used to be that there was just one name, either Chol or Kodesh. And let's just finish. Sorry that we gave went over a minute. By the name Sprinter is from Esperanza. Okay? It's from beautiful Spanish name. Sprinter is, so if you know any Sprinters, also Vela is from, also a French name. But if you look at number 31, and let's finish with this. Says the Midrash, calls Mansha Adam Marba Bamitzvahs, if a person does Torah and Mitzvahs, who kaine shame tov la'atma. He gets himself a good name. At Moshe, so you find Shloisha Shemus Nikrula Adam, a person has three names. Echad Masha Kurim La Aviv, the Imai, one that his parents gave him. Echad Masha Kurim La Bneyam, another one which is maybe a nickname that people give him. The Echad Masha Kurim La Atma, one that they earn for themselves. Toiz Mikulam, and the most important name that you have, is Masha Kohenu Latzmai, is the name of good reputation, Torah, Matin Tovim, that you do, and that's the most important name of all. I think that's a good thing to finish with, so you can go away from there and work out how the names work, but I wanted to do that topic because I have a little bit of a connection there too. All right, have a great day.
Moshe Rabbeinu was named by Bat Harol.